The love of women is the most beautiful of all that mortals experience. Thou losest thy nights in cherishing youths who are ungrateful to us. Beside their narrow planks, consider our luxuriant hips, broad hollow couches for lovers. Say above all, what human lips, except hers who wish it, can elaborate the pleasure? Why have I become lesbian, thou askest? But what player of a flute is not a little? I am poor, I have no bed. I lie with her who wishes me, and I thank her with what I have. While yet small, we dance naked. Those dances, thou knowest them. The 12 desires of Aphrodite. We regard each other. We compare our nudities, and we find them so pretty. During the long night, we inflame ourselves for pleasure of spectators, but our ardor is not feigned, and we feel it so much that sometimes, behind the doors, one of us may animate her companion who consents. How then can we love a man who is rough with us? He seizes us as girls and leaves us before the delight. Thou art a woman. Thou knowest what I mean. Thou attachest to thy light hands the resounding crotales, my dear Nescadica, and almost naked from thy robe, thou extendest thy nervous limbs. How pretty thou art, thine arms in the air, thy loins arched, and thy breasts reddened. Thou commencest, thy feet, one before the other, pose, hesitate, and glide softly. Thy body bends like a scarf, thy caresses thy shivering skin, and voluptuousness inundates thy long swooning eyes. Suddenly thou strikest the crotales, arch thyself erect upon thy feet, shake thy loins, advance thy legs and let thy hands, filled with noise, call all the desires in a band about thy turning body. We applaud with great cries as smiling over thy shoulder, thou agitatest with a shiver thy convulsed muscular croup, or whether thou undulate, almost extended, to the rhythm of thy memory. Anthus, dancing girl of Lydia, has 7 veils upon her. She unrolls the yellow veil. Her black hair spreads out. The rosy veil slips from her mouth. The white veil falls, revealing her naked arms. She releases her little breast from the red veil that unties itself. She lets fall the green veil from her double rounded croup. She draws the blue veil from her shoulders, but she presses upon her puberty the last transparent veil. The young men supplicate her. She tosses her head backwards. Only at the sound of a flute, she tears it a little. Then suddenly, with the gestures of a dance, she culls the flowers of her body, singing. Behold my roses, I give them to you. Behold my violets, will you have them? Behold my fair curled parsley. Within the enclosure thrice mysterious, where the men may never enter, we have made a festival for thee, Aphrodite of a night, mother of a world, fountain of a life of the gods. I will reveal something, but not more than is permitted. About a phallus crowned, 100 women rocked, shrieking. The initiates wore the habits of men, the others the divided tunics. Smoke of perfumes, the fumes of torches waver between us like clouds. I wept burning tears. All at the feet of Iberbia, we cast ourselves upon our backs. At last, when the religious act was consummated, and when, in the unique triangle, had been plunged the crimson phallus, the mystery commended. But I will tell no more. Upon a white terrace in the night, they abandon us, swooning among the roses. A warm perspiration slipped away like tears from our armpits over our breasts. Overwhelming voluptuousness purpled our thrown back heads. Four captive doves, bathed in four perfumes, fluttered above us in the silence. From their wings, drops of perfume fell upon the naked women. I rested my cheek upon the belly of a young girl who enveloped herself in the cool of my moist hair. The perfume of her saffron skin intoxicated my open mouth. She closed her thighs about my neck. I slept, but an exhausting dream awakened me. A bird of nocturnal desire sang distractingly from afar. Coughed with a little shiver. Little by little, a languishing arm like a flower raised itself in the air toward the moon. Nesedika, thou art there. For in the secret of thy body, it is thou, Nesedika, beloved, who hidest the cave of the nymphs in which old Homer spoke, the place where the naiads weave their purple linens, the place where glide, drop by drop, the inexhaustible springs, and where the gate of the north lets men descend, and the gate of the south lets immortals enter. Breathless, I take her hand and apply it forcibly to the moist skin of my left breast. And I turn my head here and there, and I move my lips without speaking. My excited heart, abrupt and hard, beats and beats in my breast, as an imprisoned satyr would knock, imprisoned in a leathern bottle. Heart makes thee ill. Oh, Nesedika, I respond. The heart of a woman is not there. That is only a poor bird, a dove which stirs its feeble wings. The heart of a woman is more terrible. Like a little myrtle berry, it burns with a red flame and under an abundant foam. There that I feel myself bitten by voracious Aphrodite. What dost thou wish? If it must be, I will sell my last jewel so that an attentive slave may wait upon the desire of thine eyes and every thirst of thy lips. If the milk of our goat seems insipid to thee, I will hire as for an infant a nurse with swollen breasts who will suckle thee each morning. If our bed seems rough, I will buy thee all the soft cushions, all the coverlets of silk, all the cloths soft with feathers of the Amethysian merchants. All. But I should suffice thee, and though we sleep upon the earth, thou shouldst find it softer than the warm bed of a stranger. Great eyes of Nesedika, how happy you make me when love darkens your lids and quickens you and shadows you with tears. But how maddened when you turn elsewhere, distracted by a woman who passes or by a remembrance which is not mine. Great eyes of Nesedika, cease not to reward me, or I will stab you with my needle, and then you will see only the terrible night. I have given her a doll of wax with cheeks of roses. In the evening she cradles it and gives it a breast before putting it to sleep. She has woven a three little tunics, and we gave it jewels on the day of the Aphrodisian festival. But more than her balls or her doll, I am for her a game. With all parts of my body, she amuses herself through the long hours without speaking. She loosens my hair and reforms it according to her caprice, knotting it under my chin like a thick cloth, twisting it upon the nape of my neck, or braiding it to the end. She sees with astonishment the color of my lashes, the folds of my neck. Sometimes she makes me kneel and place my hands on the bed. Then, it is one of her games, she slips her little head underneath and imitates the trembling kid which sucks from the belly of its mother. She has gone out and is far away, but I see her. For all things in this chamber are full of her. All are related to her, I like the rest. This bed, still warm, over which I pass my mouth, is impressed with the form of her body. On this soft pillow has lain her little head enveloped in her hair. There is the basin in which she bathed, the comb which penetrated the knots of her tangled hair. These slippers long for her naked feet. The pockets of gauze enclosed her breasts. But that which I dare not touch with my finger is the mirror in which she viewed her hot bruises, and in which perhaps still exists the reflection of her moist lips. If I think of her, my throat becomes dry, my head droops. My breasts grow hard and pain me. I shiver and weep as I walk. When I see her, my heart stops, my hands tremble, my feet grow cold. The crimson of fire mounts to my cheeks. My temples throb grievously. When I touch her, I become mad. My arms weaken, my knees swoon. I fall before her and lie like a woman about to die. The sun has passed all the night among the dead while I have waited, seated upon my bed, weary from watching. The wick of the exhausted lamp has burned to the end. She will never return. There is the last star. I know well that she will never return. I know even the name that I hate. Nevertheless, I still wait. That she would come now. Yes, that she would come, her hair disordered and without roses, her robe soiled, spotted, rumpled, her tongue dry and her eyelids black. When she opened the door, I would say to her, but here she is. It is her robe that I touch. Her hands, her hair, her skin. I kiss her with distracted lips. And I weep. For whom now shall I paint my lips? For whom shall I polish my nails? For whom shall I perfume my hair? For whom are my breasts powdered with rouge, if they no longer tempt her? For whom are my arms laved with milk, if they may nevermore embrace her? How can I sleep? How can I lay myself upon the bed? In the evening, my hand in all my bed could not find her warm hand. I dare not return to my house, to the chamber so frightfully empty. I dare not reopen the door. I dare not even reopen mine eyes. I remember of what hour of the day is it not before my eyes. I remember the manner in which she lifted her hair with her slender fingers so pale. I remember one night when she passed her cheek upon my breast, so softly that happiness held me awake. And the day following, she had upon her face the mark of my rounded nipple. I see her holding her cup of milk and regarding me sideways with a smile. I see her powdered, her hair dressed, opening her great eyes before her mirror and retouching with her finger the red of her lips. And above all, if my despair is a perpetual torture, it is because I know moment by moment how she swoons in the arms of another, and what she demands of her, and what she gives. If life is a long dream, of what good to resist? Now, 4 and 5 times a night, I demand amorous enjoyment, and when my loins are exhausted, I sink asleep wherever my body falls. In the morning, I open my eyelids and I shiver in my hair. A dove is upon my window. I ask of her, in what month are we? She says to me, it is the month when women are in love. Whatever be the month, the dove speaks truly. And I throw my 2 arms about my lover, and with great tremblings, I stretch my still benumbed legs to the foot of the bed. The night has worn away. The stars are distant. See? The last courtesans have returned with their lovers, and I, in the rain of morning, write this, my last verse, upon the sand. Rest upon the bed, O my body, according to thy voluptuous mission. Taste thy daily enjoyments and the passions without a tomorrow. Leave not a joy unknown to be regretted upon the day of thy death. Aphrodite, merciless goddess, thou hast willed it. Thy procession comes to carry me in triumph to thee, all naked upon a shell-like car, upon which slaves have placed 10,000 roses. I recline thereon, my hands under my neck, my feet alone clad in gold, and my body outstretched softly upon the bed of my warm hair mingling with the cool petals. 12 children with winged shoulders serve me to the goddess. One of them holds a shade, the others shower me with perfume or burn incense in the prow. About me I hear rustling the ardent murmur of a multitude, while the breath of desire floats about my nudity, reaching to the blue mist of the aromatics. Aphrodite, here is Bilitis.